Disc 4.
Infinite networks.
The powerful leverage of the infinite network. Dr. R. Buckminster Fuller said, "You can rest assured that if you devote your time and attention to the highest advantage of others, then the universe will always support you, always and only in the nick of time." Enlightened millionaires realize that there is a spiritual dimension to wealth. They understand that this unseen world is a source of infinite abundance. When you unite with the source of infinite abundance, you also become infinitely abundant. How do you tap into this infinite network of abundance? In the 21st and 22nd Millionaire Ahas, we already shared with you that our belief about the power of tithing. Tithing expands, multiplies, and adds value to all that you do. Another way to tap you into the infinite network is to simply maintain your integrity. It is this integrity that ensures your long-term success. Knowing and acknowledging the spiritual dimension makes your life far less stressful. Moreover, as your success gracefully unfolds, a deep sense of gratitude will permeate your very being. Embracing the spiritual component of wealth and recognizing the existence of infinite network is the single most important and most powerful form of leverage. All enlightened millionaires humbly acknowledge their reliance on the infinite network.
Tapping into the power of the universe. As Frank Herbert wrote in Dune, "What senses do we lack that we cannot see or hear another world all around us?" The 1981 Oscar-winning movie Chariots of Fire tells the story of two British runners in the 1924 Olympics, Harold Abrahams, a Jew driven to compete by anti-Semitism, and Eric Liddell, a Christian missionary who feels God's presence when he runs. Did you know that the title of the movie was inspired by one of the most remarkable stories from ancient scripture? In this story, the king of Syria is angry with the Jewish prophet Elisha and sends a great army to capture him. Elisha's servant awakes one morning to find that their city is surrounded with a huge Syrian army, both with horses and chariots. This is in 2 Kings 6:15 through 17. The servant runs to tell Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elisha responds, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." We can only imagine what the servant was thinking when he heard this. How ridiculous. There are thousands of them and only two of us. Then Elisha prays and says, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opens the servant's eyes, and he looks and sees the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. If your eyes were opened, what would you see? If you've ever been snorkeling near a tropical reef, you've experienced what it's like to peer into another world. As soon as you put your mask in the water, a brilliant new dimension of bright colored fish and strange creatures explodes into sight. We're not accustomed to seeing such brilliant colors in our normally drab existence, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. To use Wayne Dyer's analogy, this physical world is only one room of a 1,000-room mansion. There is so much more for us to explore beyond our physical senses. Call it what you will, the other side, the other world, or the world of spirits. Most of us admit to a system of spiritual beliefs. Is there another world around us right now? An invisible world? Is there a thin curtain that separates us from this invisible world? Are dozens of unseen beings anxiously waiting to do our bidding to help us? Are chariots of fire around you? And if not chariots, is there an angel or two cheering you on? Yes, this may seem far-fetched, but what if it was true? In the Jewish tradition, every blade of grass has an angel standing over it, encouraging it, "Grow, grow." Wouldn't it be nice to know that you are not alone? That there might be a powerful support system surrounding you right now? We believe there is such an invisible world, a world just waiting to help you fulfill your congruent desires. Summoned to your side with horses and chariots of fire. Your infinite network. As Woody Allen joked, If only God would give me some clear sign, like making a deposit in my name in a Swiss bank account. To grow and maximize your leverage, you need to work with several expanding bandwidths from the broadcast station called you. The infinite is infinite. You are the center of the world, metaphorically speaking. Think of your mind and brain as a radio station that outputs your chosen messages. Your imagination creates the broadcast that originates your future. If you send the wrong outbound messages, you get the wrong results. If you broadcast the right messages consistently and persistently, you will get the right results right here and right now. As we've established, you need a mentor, a guide, and someone to share with you the shortcuts to instant success in any endeavor or enterprise. All successful people whom you've ever encountered have had a great and inspiring mentor with whom they were attuned and who wanted to personally help them become who they were capable of becoming. The second circle out from your broadcasting station is your dream team. It starts with you and at least one other person. Miracles only happen when you have a dedicated dream team. Greatness only happens to and through teams. Third, your alliances and networks will geometrically expand from your associations with your dream team. It's as if the brothers of serendipity arrived just in time with the right people. Your million-dollar Rolodex will source and serve you in ever-expanding ways. The universe is forever testing you and giving you feedback. The messages that you have been sending create an echo effect. The problem is that the feedback is not instantaneous, so it's sometimes difficult to observe and understand the cause and effect relationship. Alone, you and your task have a one-to-one relationship. Your task will be slow, arduous, and painful drudgery. With your mentor, team, and network in place, your power is greatly multiplied and your infinite network comes into serious play. You have witnessed its presence and its superlative results, though it was not previously named or popularized. The spiritual internet kicks in when a team has a big, purposeful dream and everyone stays positive about its accomplishment. It is impossible to obtain these results in any other way.
The sixth manifestation, I am a giver. In this life, there are givers and takers. I'm a giver. I like to give. I love to give. Giving is my way of life. I give away my ideas to great causes that I care deeply about. I give money where it is needed, it is wanted, and can do enormous amounts of good. My giving creates more. I inspire others to give and like doing it. It is my subtle mission to give and motivate other rich people to give so that human dignity is recreated on spaceship Earth. Giving is God's way. It is a way I now understand is the truth of the universe. Giving multiplies me and makes me feel complete and fulfilled. Giving makes me feel that I make a real and important difference. Giving is one of the main reasons that I enjoy being a millionaire. I make millions, I save millions, I invest millions, and I give millions away.
1 minute review of the infinite network. Point number one, embrace the spiritual. Embracing the spiritual side of wealth is the single most important and most powerful form of leverage for enlightened millionaires. Point number two, the unseen world is the source of infinite abundance. When you unite with the source of infinite abundance, you also become infinitely abundant yourself. Point number three, integrity is the key to tap into the infinitely abundant, infinite network. It is this integrity that ensures your long-term success. Point number four, tithing works. Regardless of your income, acknowledge your relationship with the infinite network by giving 10% of your income to your church, community, or favorite humanitarian cause. Just as a wise gardener prunes a growing tree to balance it and prepare it for greater growth, God encourages us to prune back our money trees by tithing. Point number five, acknowledging the spiritual dimension makes your life far less stressful. Moreover, as your success gracefully unfolds, a deep sense of gratitude will permeate your being. Point number 6, dream impossible dreams. The spiritual internet has God as the mainframe computer with individuals as mini frames off the mainframe. The spiritual internet works when a team has a big, purposeful dream and everyone stays positive about its accomplishment.
Skills and tools.
The tools and skills of the 1 Minute Millionaire. With the advent of the business revolution, the business dynamic dramatically changed. The means of production, Karl Marx's famous words, became too expensive and too complicated to be maintained individually. A person could build a table alone, yet building an automobile required many more resources. Now we live in the information economy. The means of production are back in your hands. An inexpensive greeting card with a computer chip contains more production power than a room-sized computer of the 1950s. With a properly configured computer, a printer, and a phone line to the internet, you have enormous power. As the IBM ad says, when offering its smaller computers, it might not make you a giant conglomerate, but it sure can scare one. On the World Wide Web, there are few barriers to entry. You can instantly open a storefront that is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and anyone has internet access. Daniel H. Pink calls this digital Marxism. You, the individual, now have the power. As Pink points out in Free Agent Nation, in the age of inexpensive computer, wireless handheld devices, and ubiquitous low-cost connections to a global communications network, workers can now own the means of production. You must own and know how to use each of these tools. Computers, handheld devices, and modems are all part of your enlightened millionaire lever. Having these items, the tools, and knowing how to use them, the skills, is critical to your success. It is the glue that tightly connects you and all the other elements of your millionaire lever. Your team, your mentor, your mastermind group are all exponentially strengthened when you own these information tools and have the skill to use them. Did you go to work today on horseback? Did you listen to a 78 record? Of course not. The world changed and you changed. You had no vote. To succeed, you had to learn how to drive a car and how to play, if not, burn a CD. The same requirement is true of computers, handheld devices, and modems. You have no vote. You must have both tools and skills to use them. Let's look at the story of Betty Fox. Her husband died at 33, leaving her with a little money and 2 boys. She worked as a bank teller and then as a clerk in a boy's shirt company until it went bankrupt. Betty then lived on unemployment until she found a job for a small billing company. That company moved when she was 67, and she was once again unemployed. Her son got her connected to Web TV, a service that uses a TV set to surf the internet. Less than a year later, she started her own website called GrandmaBetty.com. The site became so popular that GrandmaBetty.com was purchased by iGrandparents for more money than she ever dreamed. If Betty Fox, at 67, could master both the tools and the skills, what is the probability that you can, too?
Persuasion. The person who chooses to master the skill of persuasion can positively affect millions around the world. You are such a person, or you wouldn't be listening to this. Master teachers and leaders have always used storytelling to effectively communicate their point of view and illustrate their arguments. Stories paint an irresistibly compelling word picture that communicates heart to heart and soul to soul. In a story, context is everything. Consider the following archetypal scenario. 2 associate pastors are seeking the permission of the senior pastor and ask essentially the same question in different ways and get totally different answers. Associate pastor number 1 requests, "May I eat while I'm praying?" The senior pastor responds, "No, that would be a sacrilege of the highest order. Absolutely not." A few hours later, the 2nd associate pastor asks, "May I pray while I'm eating?" The senior pastor responds, "Of course, you are to pray without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul said, so by all means, keep praying." Both pastors were asking to do the same thing, eat and pray at the same time, yet one gets a yes and the other receives a no. The only difference is the context of the question. One asked the question of eating in the context of praying. In that context, eating detracts from praying. The other asked the question in the context of eating. He got a yes because praying adds to the context of eating. The most persuasive individuals are careful to present questions in a context that is more likely to get a favorable response. Another persuasive tool is the rhetorical question. It presumes the answer by the way the question is asked, like, "You want to be a millionaire, don't you?" It subtly stimulates the listener to agreement, especially if the persuader is gently nodding his or her head up and down and smiling to obtain consent. Messages on the wings of humor are also very important. For example, in the Lincoln-Douglas presidential debates, Douglas called Lincoln two-faced. Lincoln, in his rebuttal, gently smiled, chortled, and said to the audience, "Ladies and gentlemen, if I had two faces, do you think I would wear this one?" Insightful, self-deprecating humor helped Honest Abe become president. As president, Lincoln persuaded America that slavery was wrong, immoral, and had to be abolished. His persuasive communication and deep conviction that slavery was bad for the Union made way for the Emancipation Proclamation that abolished slavery. Management consultant Marshall Thurber says his three secrets to persuasion are brightness, darkness, and frequency. Paint bright word pictures that describe the positive, exciting future that awaits if a person follows your recommended course of action. Paint dark word pictures that describe the gloomy and frightening future that awaits if a person doesn't follow your recommendations. Then repeat the message, like advertising does, again and again until your audience gets it and automatically does what you've suggested. Brightness, darkness, and frequency. You can learn to persuade. You can learn to sculpt your words and phrases into masterpieces that evoke the response you want.
Everybody wants something. To be a millionaire is to be a student of what motivates people, learning to discern the wants behind the behaviors of the masses. Motivational speaker Zig Ziglar says, "You can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want." Everybody wants something. You just need to find out what they want and give it to them. Effective listening is a rare skill. Your quest is to listen with your outer and inner ear to discover what people truly want. You may get your answer by asking them directly. Oftentimes, a direct approach does work. Other times, you need to probe deeper and talk to their personal assistants, secretaries, associates, friends, or relatives. As you ask direct and indirect questions and keep pondering the idea of what they need, want, and desire, you'll be amazed how fast you'll discover it. Occasionally, you need help. A friend of ours hired a consultant to help him resolve a conflict with his publisher. He wanted his publisher to produce electronic versions of his book, but the publisher was resisting. One day, while on their morning walk, his consultant stopped him in the tracks and said, "Close your eyes and pretend to be your publisher for just a minute. Why do you object to electric publishing?" He answered, "Because I have $20 million invested in my printing presses, and I have 168 employees who are depending on me." Voila! Our friend positioned himself in such a way that he could understand why his publisher was so resistant. Eventually, they were able to come to terms. Sometimes you need to get private, get quiet, and see things from the other person's point of view to discover an omni-favorable solution. I recently called an executive officer of a major company to set up a meeting, along with Bob, to explore the business possibilities. At first, the executive was abrupt and arrogant, but I listened deeply and behind his words heard exactly what he wanted: to do business with billion-dollar entrepreneurial companies primed to go global. I said, "If I could help you make that happen, would you meet with us when we're next in New York?" We did, and our power breakfast was vastly successful. He introduced us to all the power brokers in the city that morning. It was incredible. But this meeting would never have taken place if I wasn't listening with my inner ear to what this gentleman really wanted. Just remember, everybody wants something. Your task is to discover it.
7 money skills of extremely prosperous people. Why do some people earn 10 times more money in their lifetime than the rest of us? Do they work 10 times harder? Are they 10 times smarter? Of course not. The bottom line is that wealthy people are good at the 7 following money skills. Anyone can learn them. Money skill number 1, value. They value each dollar bill as a money seed. Just like a tiny acorn contains the power to grow into a mighty oak tree, each dollar has the power to grow into a mighty money tree. If you destroy an acorn, the oak tree inside also dies. So too with a money seed. Wealthy people know that a dollar a day can grow into $1 million, so they are very respectful of every dollar they spend. Money skill number 2, control. They control their money down to the penny. Prosperous people take a few extra steps every time they spend money. Number 1, they shop for the best value. Number 2, they ask for and expect a discount. Number 3, they examine their receipt for mistakes. Number 4, they attempt to turn each expenditure into a legitimate tax-deductible business expense. Number 5, they balance their checkbook to the penny. And number 6, they file their receipts upon returning to their home or office. These activities only take an extra minute of time, but build long-term financial peace of mind. Money skill number 3, save. Wealthy people love to save money by spending wisely, but they don't stop there. They save at least 10% of what they earn. They don't just save money, they save it. They take the money they've saved and they put it away for the future. Money skill number 4, invest. They have a system for investing their money. Imagine a series of buckets where money is siphoned from your main bank account. The first bucket is your emergency bucket. Let your 10% savings flow there first until you have at least 3 months' living expense saved in an insured bank account. Once this first bucket is filled up, the stream of 10% overflows into one of 3 additional buckets: conservative investments, moderately aggressive investments, and very aggressive investments. Contact a reputable investment advisor to help you put your savings into these 3 types of mutual funds. The money should be automatically deducted from your bank account so you never forget. Money skill number 5, earn. They have multiple streams of income, or what we call MSIs, outside of their job. This entire discussion is dedicated to showing you how to dramatically increase your earning power. Money skill number 6, shield. They protect themselves with trusts, corporations, limited partnerships, LLCs, and other legal entities. In truth, you don't want to be a millionaire. You want to live like a millionaire, but have very few assets in your own name. Money skill number 7, share. They are very generous, donating at least 10% of their income. The secret is that money multiplies fastest when it is divided. When you share freely, you prime the pump of the universe. We encourage you to establish a legacy that will outlive you. Plant money trees from which others will harvest the fruit. This is true prosperity.
Negotiating from abundance. The Enlightened Millionaire pursues a principled approach to negotiation. Its context is one of abundance rather than scarcity. This means in every transaction where there is a negotiation, the Enlightened Millionaire intends to work cooperatively with a party to expand the situation so that everybody wins. There can never be a loss for anyone in a transaction. This means that every negotiation is an act of creation coming from an ocean of abundance. From this context, the Enlightened Millionaire creates only abundance, never scarcity. This means all Enlightened Millionaire negotiations are ethical, honest, and win-win-win situations and events. An Enlightened Millionaire negotiates from a place of stewardship. That is, the Enlightened Millionaire negotiates to create wealth that improves the lives of everyone. The goal is to enrich oneself while enriching others. The goal of negotiation is not to win at someone else's expense. Rather, it is to expand what is possible. Success is defined by how much bigger the pie is after the negotiation than before. Negotiation thus becomes a blessing for all involved.
Activity management. An enlightened millionaire values time. The following 10 tips can give you more opportunity to add additional activities to your day. Tip number 1. Focus on the critical few. 85% of the things you do account for only 15% of your results, and vice versa. Therefore, only work on the critical things, and you'll get there faster and with less effort. Tip number 2. Learn how to procrastinate. Procrastination is absolutely essential to your success. Just make sure you procrastinate the right things. Put off the 85% and tackle those critical 15% items. Losers do just the opposite. They tackle the 85% and put off the 15%. Tip number 3, throw away your to-do list. Create instead an 85-15 list. Write the top priority items at the top in the 15% box. Write the lower priority items at the bottom. Only work on the top of your list. Tip number 4, reward yourself for doing the right things. There's a great book by Michael LeBouf called GMP, The Greatest Management Principle in the World. Here is the book in a nutshell. The things that get rewarded get done. If you reward yourself for your most positive actions, you will get more of them done, almost effortlessly. Tip number 5, do your FTF. That stands for feared things first. Which activity on your list do you fear the most? That's your FTF. When you start your day, ask yourself, what's my FTF today? Start your day with that activity. By training yourself to do your FTF, you unconsciously urge yourself to tackle tougher tasks. Tip number 6, do a daily power hour. Take a few minutes every day. It doesn't need to be an hour for planning. Planning is like a rehearsal. Every great actor rehearses many times before stepping on the stage. Don't step on the stage of life without rehearsing your performance. Tip number 7, exercise. It helps you work harder, longer, and think more clearly. It increases your health span and your lifespan. While you exercise, you should also listen to tapes so you can layer those two activities together. And therefore, you're not only exercising your body, but your brain at the same time. Speaking of that, tip number 8, layer your activities. Use your waiting time productively. Do two things at once. Listen to tapes while exercising, driving, or standing in line. Constantly ask yourself this question: is this the most productive use of my time? Tip number 9, write out your goals daily. We learned this from Brian Tracy, who writes out his top goals each and every day. By the way, an excellent book on time management is Brian's book, Eat That Frog. Bon appetit. Tip number 10, just say no. Don't let other people dump their monkeys on you. Sometimes you just have to say no.
The One-Minute Review of Skills and Tools. 1. You, the individual, now have the power. In the age of inexpensive computers, wireless handheld devices, and ubiquitous low-cost connections to a global communications network, you own or can own the means of production. Number 2. You must own and know how to use each of these tools. Computers, handheld devices, and modems are all part of your enlightened millionaire lever. Having these items, the tools, and knowing how to use them, the skills, is critical to your success. This is a glue that tightly connects you and all the other elements of your millionaire lever. 3. Master the power of persuasion. The person who chooses to master the skill of persuasion can positively affect millions around the world. You can learn to persuade. You can learn to sculpt your words and phrases into masterpieces that evoke the response you want. People want someone to persuade and lead them in the right direction. You can be that someone. 4. Wealthy people are good at 7 money skills. Money skill number 1, value. Each dollar bill is money seed. Number 2, control. Control your money to the penny. Money skill 3, save. Save at least 10% of the money you earn. Money skill 4, invest. Have a system for investing your money. Money skill 5, earn. Have an MSI outside your job. Money skill 6, shield. Protect yourself with legal entities. Money skill 7, share. Donate at least 10% of your income. Big number five, the enlightened millionaire pursues a principled approach to negotiation. Its context is one of abundance rather than scarcity. The enlightened millionaire intends to work cooperatively with others to expand the situation so that everyone wins. There can never be a loss for anyone in this interaction. Six, an enlightened millionaire values time. 85% of the things you do account for only 15% of your results, and vice versa. Therefore, only work on critical things, and you'll get there faster and with less effort.
Systems
thinking. Picture this situation. It's late afternoon, and you're tired. You have an important dinner engagement that evening, so you decide to take an hour nap. Instead of setting your alarm, you ask a friend who is visiting to wake you in an hour. He agrees. 2 hours later, your friend wakes you. You ask, "Why didn't you wake me after an hour?" He replies that he thought you asked him to wake you in 2 hours, and that is what he did. You then have to run around and get ready quickly, muttering to yourself about how you should have set the alarm rather than asking your friend to wake you. Had you done that, you would not have been so rushed to get ready. Your conclusion is correct. Your analysis of what happened looked at the system you used. Your friend's failure to wake you resulted from a miscommunication. Either he didn't hear you correctly or you misspoke. As we mentioned earlier, blaming others or yourself is not operating from above the line. Looking at the situation from the point of view of being personally responsible is always better than blaming yourself or another. So how do you best be responsible in this situation? The answer is found in systems thinking. Dr. W. Edwards Deming is the American statistician who is credited with bringing the quality practices to Japan. Before his arrival in that country in 1950, the label "Made in Japan" was synonymous with inferior quality. Now the same "Made in Japan" label is synonymous with high quality. So what did Dr. Deming teach the Japanese that made such a difference to the quality of their products? The answer is quite simple, yet profound. Based on years of statistical analysis, Deming was able to validate that 94% of all failures are not because people don't want to do a good job. The fact is that most people want to do a good job. What then is the cause if it's not the people? It's the system. The system failed in 94% of the cases, not the people. If you've ever failed to make money in a venture and blamed yourself, perhaps you'd better rethink the root cause. The probability of creating financial freedom depends on the system you are using. Enlightened millionaires search for successful systems before they launch their money-making vehicles. Having the right system gives you enormous leverage. This is the essence of systems thinking.
Specialized wealth systems. There are dozens of systems for making money. The word system forms the acronym SAVE Yourself Time, Energy, and Money. And it's true. When you have a system, it saves you time, energy, and money. In the beginning, if you don't have a system, it's almost impossible to succeed. Bob once illustrated this point to a small seminar. On a table, he placed a blue velvet jeweler's pad. In the center, he placed a jeweler's magnifying glass, a pair of special tweezers, and a pile of 50 sparkling diamonds. He explained, "These sparkling stones are not diamonds. In this pile are 49 cubic zirconiums, fake diamonds. Only one real, but very valuable diamond. If you find the real diamond, I'll give it to you. Would anyone like to take a chance?" Everyone volunteered. "There's only one catch. You only have 60 seconds to find it." One by one, they tried to find the real diamond. But with such a short time frame, they all failed. Then Bob agreed to show them the system. With the clock running, he proceeded to turn each of the stones on its flat face, its faceted sides straight upward. It took Bob 55 seconds to arrange all the stones in this manner. Then, with a few seconds remaining, he looked down on the stones from above and was able to spot the real diamond from among the fakes with only his naked eye. Once things are set up properly, it is extraordinarily easy to spot the real diamond every time. Why? Because all the cubic zirconiums are exactly the same, flawless and perfect. Only the diamond has a flaw in it, a tiny fleck of carbon, called an inclusion, which refracts light slightly differently than the other stones. This difference is obvious even to the naked eye. Now, with the system or secret revealed, everyone wanted another try at finding the real diamond. No, Bob explained. You had your chance. Since you didn't know the system, you got nothing. I, on the other hand, know the system, so I get the diamond every time. All of these wealthy people have a system, or cookie cutters, that they have developed through the years of trial and error to cut real dough out of the market. In the next few pages, we're going to share with you proven million-dollar systems. One of these systems is going to work for you. But first, we need some simple benchmarks for keeping score. Million-dollar benchmarks. In becoming a millionaire, you will cross many benchmarks. Are you a salaried employee? Which benchmarks have you crossed? Your lifetime net income exceeds $1 million? Your total value of everything you own exceeds $1 million? The net value of everything you own exceeds $1 million? Your yearly net income exceeds $1 million? Are you a commission salesperson? Which benchmarks have you crossed? Your total lifetime sales exceeded $1 million? Your lifetime net income exceeds $1 million? Your total yearly sales exceed $1 million? Your yearly net income exceeds $1 million? The total value of everything you own exceeds $1 million? The net value of everything you own exceeds $1 million? Are you the owner of one of the 6 million businesses in North America? If so, which of the following benchmarks have you crossed? Your total lifetime business revenue exceeds $1 million? Your lifetime net profit exceeds $1 million? Your total yearly business revenue exceeds $1 million? Your yearly net profit exceeds $1 million? Your monthly gross income exceeds $1 million? Your monthly net income exceeds $1 million? Your total value of everything you own exceeds $1 million? Your net value of everything you own exceeds $1 million? What are your million-dollar benchmarks? 5 characteristics of the ideal money-making system. Ideal multiple streams or sources of incomes have these 5 characteristics. Number 1, they start with zero cash. Zero cash is required. Not necessarily no cash, just not your cash. As you may have read Bob Allen's classic book Nothing Down, there are dozens of techniques for buying and selling real estate with little or no money down. Business masters in all ages have been masters of creative non-use of cash. The great billionaire Andrew Carnegie bought many of his major businesses with nothing down. Even the discovery of America was a nothing down deal. Columbus borrowed the money he needed from the King and Queen of Spain. You can learn how to do exactly the same. 2, zero risk. If you don't have a lot of your own money in a deal, you dramatically lower your risk. The more successful you become, the more risk averse you will become. You will cover your assets. You will learn to use corporations, LLCs, and other legal entities to lower your liabilities. The goal is to be risk-free. 3, zero time. Zero time does not mean you invest no time. It merely means that once your project is up and running, you should operate on automatic pilot. Like writing a book, your goal is to write it, market it, get it on automatic pilot as quickly as possible. Then you can concentrate on your next project or task. You focus your thinking and creative energy to design a self-perpetuating system. The ultimate goal is ongoing massive passive cash flow with little or no time investment. 4 is zero management. Management is an endless to-do list that absorbs your time. The objective is to outsource and delegate your work effort. Operate from your highest and best thinking. Simulate yourself as a president of the United States, complete with all the resources, talent, connections, and money you could ever possibly want to realize your desires. 5, zero energy. Life is energy. Your invested energy is your life. You want the greatest possible return per unit of energy invested. When your life is over, will you feel rewarded or regretful? Energy well invested will give you a great return on investment. You want high profits for high thinking and high service. It's available. Rare is a person who thinks through these critical concepts with regard to his or her own future and fortune. Every business giant has done this rare thinking, and that's why we recommend a reading of business biographies and autobiographies. Learn to zero out your life and business.
Making money while you sleep. Prosperous people have always known 2 truths. Truth number one, the importance of having multiple streams of income. Smart people recognize the need to cultivate a portfolio of income streams, not one or two, but many streams from completely different and diversified sources. If one stream goes dry, it doesn't bother them. They have time to adjust. They're stable, safe. Truth number two, the power of residual income. Residual income, that's a fancy term for a recurring stream of income that continues to flow whether you're there or not. In other words, making money while you sleep. For example, when you earn interest on the money in your bank account, that's residual income. It flows into your account 24 hours a day without any added effort on your part. What percentage of your income is residual? With residual income, you work hard once, and it unleashes a steady flow of income for months, even years. You get paid over and over again for the same effort. Wouldn't it be nice to be compensated hundreds of times for every hour you work? Have you seen that tiny battery tester on the Duracell battery? The inventor presented his idea to the big battery companies. Most turned him down, but Duracell saw the genius of it and agreed to pay just a few pennies per battery pack for his idea. And now he makes millions because those residual pennies add up. And the best part about it, he doesn't have to be there. It flows without him. You see, the trick is to get money working for you instead of you working for money. Here are a few places where you could put your money to work for you to create streams of income while you sleep. Savings and certificates of deposit, bonds, investments that generate dividends, stocks that have potential for long-term growth appreciation, your own house appreciation, real estate investments, single-family, multi-unit, commercial, owning your own business, commissions, franchising fees, marketing consulting, where you generate a percentage of the revenues, celebrity endorsements, a database owner where you can rent and sell your list and related intelligence. Royalties, books, tapes, CDs, videos, seminars, films, software, games, inventions, patents, agenting, and brokering. A website that sells 24 hours a day. Or network marketing. All of these ways and many others are the kinds of ideas that you need to implement to create income while you sleep.
The seventh manifestation. I attract multiple sources of income. I realize that I need more than one source of income. I choose a new and wiser financial path. It is called the wisdom of multiple sources of income. My first stream of income is my PSI, my primary source of income. I focus on my PSI until it is stable and almost permanent. I treat my PSI with respect, love, care, and delight. Then I add new MSIs, multiple sources of income, one at a time. Each MSI is a joy to my heart. I create them in my mind and instantly record them on paper. Because I seek them, I find them. I find so many MSIs that I have to prioritize them. I schedule the launch of each MSI sequentially after writing a wow of a business plan. I involve my dream team to help me pull together all the resources to create a successful MSI. Multiple sources of income are pouring into my life from all over the world. I'm under the spout where all the good things pour out. 1 minute review of systems. 1. 94% of failures caused by systems, not the people. Most people want to do a good job. 94% of all failures are not because the people don't want to do a good job. It's because the systems they're using were failed. 2. All wealthy people have systems. These systems, developed through years of trial and error, now have predictable outcomes. Enlightened millionaires search out the most predictable systems. 3. Million-dollar benchmarks. On the way to your first $1 million in net worth, you will cross several million-dollar benchmarks. Are you tracking these benchmarks? 4. Ideal money-making systems have 5 characteristics. They start with 0 cash, 0 risk, 0 time, 0 management, and 0 energy. 5. Prosperous people have always known 2 truths. Truth number one, the importance of having multiple streams of income. Truth number two, the power of residual income.
Real estate.
Tracks up the millionaire mountain. Okay, you're congruent. You're motivated. Which millionaire mountain should you climb? We've already shared with you that there are only a few millionaire mountains. But each of these millionaire mountains has several routes or tracks to the top. Each individual track is a unique, systematic way of creating wealth. If you're not aware of these business tracks, you can't use them. Just like if you had never seen an automobile before, you wouldn't be able to imagine how useful it could be to you. Just showing you these various wealth vehicles might ignite your imagination. Let's begin with real estate. A handful of properties can make you a millionaire. Let's assume that you want to make the most amount of money from the least number of properties in the shortest possible time. Is it possible to make $1 million from one property in 1 year? Highly unlikely, but possible. It certainly has been done before. In order to pull it off, let's refer back to the millionaire map. You'll need to be driven by a clear and powerful dream. You'll need to attract an excellent team of mentors who will lend you the resources you need, money, credit, expertise, and so on. Then you'll need to focus like a laser beam to find the right kind of property. It may even require that you broaden your horizons to include properties in other states or provinces. But let us ask you, you think there are a handful of bargain properties, 1 to 5 of them, somewhere in your county that could generate $1 million of profit to you this year? Absolutely. As Warren Buffett says, to be a successful investor, you must either find value or create value. Here is what you're looking for. A. Discount situations. Look for sellers who are forced to liquidate their real estate to solve a cash need. Look for mortgage holders who are anxious to liquidate their mortgages at a discount to solve an immediate cash need. B. Distressed properties. Look for sellers who are anxious to unload properties that are in crisis. Problem tenants, natural disasters, floods, fire, and so on. To them, peace of mind is more important than ownership. Look for properties that are run down and need a major fix-up. Often a total facelift will give you the ability to dramatically increase rents, thus dramatically increasing the property value. C. Conversion opportunities. Look for properties that are ripe for conversion to another use, apartments to condominiums, apartments to office space to retail space, vacant farmland to building lots or commercially zoned acreage. When you convert something from one use to another, it can often dramatically increase its value. Buy low, sell high real estate. How do you go from zero to millions using the vehicle of real estate? As complicated as real estate investing may seem, it really boils down to becoming proficient in 3 specific skills. Number 1, finding deals. How to find real estate bargains. Number 2, funding deals. Qualifying for mortgages and finding down payments. Number 3, flipping deals. How to remarket the property quickly and profitably. This process includes the following 7 steps. Number 1, only buy residential property within 50 miles of your own home. Single-family homes, apartment buildings, condominiums are easier to sell, to rent, and to finance. Stay away from anything else, especially as a beginner. Number 2, pick a target territory about 1 mile square and become an expert there. Within these boundaries, there will be 3 to 10 excellent bargains per year. Be there first. Step number 3, use 1 of 9 methods to locate motivated sellers. People become flexible in the selling of their property for numerous reasons, and these reasons actually spell the word motivated. The M in the word motivated stands for the word management or money problems. The O stands for out of area, out of work, out of luck, out of time, out of money. The T stands for transfer. The I stands for illness or inheritance or ignorance. The V stands for vacancy. The A stands for area in decline, attorney problems, such as lawsuits, liens, and bankruptcies. The T stands for tax problems. The E stands for estate and probate problems, emergency, or early retirement. And the final D in the word motivated stands for delinquent payments, divorce, death, debts, or a dissolution of a partnership. These are the major reasons why people become highly motivated to sell their property. Here are 9 of the many ways to find motivated sellers. Number 1, the real estate classified ads in your local newspaper. Number 2, run your own paid ads. Number 3, communicate with realtors. Number 4, canvass a target territory. Number 5, tell everyone you know that what you're trying to do is find highly motivated sellers. Talk to your friends and contacts. Number 6, visit with the banks. Number 7, the county courthouse. Number 8, every city has local investment clubs, an excellent source of great deals. And number 9, talk to the professionals, such as accountants and attorneys, who deal with people who have problems they're trying to solve. Start immediately with your local newspaper. Begin reading every classified ad to find clues to motivated sellers. Read ads in houses for sale, condos for sale, investment properties for sale, houses for rent or lease, houses for lease option. Circle those ads that sound flexible. You don't want problem properties. You want excellent properties owned by people with problems. Then rotate through each of the other 8 ways of finding bargains until you locate a highly motivated seller. Step number 4. Analyze each potential deal by asking 5 key questions. Question number 1, what is the price? Question number 2, what is the property condition? Question number 3, what are the terms? Question number 4, what about the location? And question number 5, is the seller highly motivated to sell? Whether you're calling on the phone or face-to-face, ask the preceding 5 questions of the property owner or agent and score each answer with a 1 to 3. For example, if the price is below the market value, give it an excellent score of 3 points. If the price and value are equal, score it average with 2 points. And if the price is above the market value, give it a score of 1. The scoring should be done on the phone before looking at the property. Each score is just an informed guess. And total up the scores from all 5 questions. If the total is 10 or less, move on. If the property scores 11 or higher, go see the property. And if a property still scores well after inspection, you may consider writing an offer to purchase it. Step number 5, determine which nothing down technique to use. Nothing down is an attitude. Quite simply, it means that you want to use OPR, which stands for other people's resources, whenever possible. When I was dropped in San Francisco with only $100 in my pocket, I was able to buy 6 properties in 57 hours using these techniques. Other people provided everything else I needed to be successful. I just had to find them. So my challenge was not for me to have adequate credit, cash flow, or collateral, but to find other people willing to lend them to me. And the same holds true for you. Eventually, you'll run out of money before you run out of good deals. Even if you're as rich as Donald Trump, you need to find partners to fill the gap of your lack. And that's why you first look for motivated sellers. They might be willing to sell the property to you without all of the traditional hurdles that banks and realtors put in your way. Then if a conventional mortgage is required, you turn to your partners to qualify for loans and/or provide the necessary down payments. Your main responsibility is to be the bargain finder, for which you will receive a handsome share of the profit. If the deal is good enough, you may not have to come up with any cash. Step number 6, write offers on all properties that score 12 or more. Once you have a few creative ways to buy the property, make your offer in writing. And step number 7, buy it, keep it, or flip it. As a beginner, you may need to make as many as 50 offers before you find a seller willing to accept your creative offer. The more experienced you become, the more your ratio will improve. 1 in 10, 1 in 5, 1 in 3, and so on. Borrow yourself rich. As a real estate investor, you're trying to solve two basic problems. Problem number one, how to raise cash for the down payment. And problem number two, how to qualify for a long-term mortgage. If you have plenty of cash, excellent credit, and so on, then you have no problem. If you lack any of the four C's, credit, cash, cash flow, or collateral, you'll need to rely on OPR, other people's resources. But you ask, why would a financially strong investor agree to help a financially weak investor? Because you will show them how they can win by doing so. Within a 50-mile radius of you right now, thousands of investors are looking to invest millions of dollars at higher rates of return. These investors don't have the time, the inclination, or the expertise to ferret out great real estate deals. They'll be happy to bring you in as a junior partner for as much as 50% of the deal just for finding the property and managing the details. If the deal is good enough, they won't even look at your financial circumstances. In essence, you become a bird dog. It's how we got started. It's how most real estate investors get started. There are 9 kinds of potential partners close to every real estate deal who can be educated to the benefits of participating in the deal with you. They are the seller, the realtor, the creditors, the renters, the hard money lenders, the mortgage holders, the property, private individuals, and the buyer, that's you. In the next few minutes, we're going to teach you several specific nothing-down techniques involving each of the preceding partners. We'll show you win-win ways for both of you to profit. The top nothing-down techniques. 95% of all sellers are resistant to any kind of creative financing. 95% of realtors will tell you that you can't buy real estate with nothing down. And 95% of the time, they are right. As an investor, you are searching for the 1 to 5% of the sellers who need to sell now and are willing to accept unconventional solutions. Then the following techniques can be very useful. Seller as partner. Nothing down technique number 1, raise the price, lower the terms. Suppose the seller has a property worth $100,000, and we're going to use $100,000 as our average price here in our examples because it's an easy way to do the numbers. So just assume that in your area if prices are higher than that $100,000 is just used for illustration purposes only. So you have a property worth $100,000 with an underlying loan of $90,000, leaving an equity of $10,000. The seller is desperate to sell. If he lists the property with a realtor, he'll have to pay most of his equity in commissions and closing costs, leaving little or no money for the seller. Here is the dialogue you would have with a seller like this. Mr. Seller, I'd like to make you 2 separate offers for your property. The first offer is for a price of $95,000. I'll assume your first mortgage, and I'll give you $5,000 cash for your equity. Now, the second offer is for a purchase price of $101,000, $1,000 more than your asking price. Instead of cash, I'll give you a note for $11,000 bearing an interest rate of 10%. Now let's compare both offers as if they were investments. The first offer gives you $5,000 cash, which you can put in a safe bank CD bearing, say, 5% interest, and that would grow to $8,144 in 10 years. The second offer I could make you is for an $11,000 secured note bearing an interest rate of 10%, and that would grow to $28,531 in 10 years. Do you see the difference? One grows to $8,000, and the second offer grows to $28,000. In fact, it would take 17 years of compound growth for the first offer just to equal what I'm willing to give you today with offer number 2. I encourage you to take offer number 2 because we both can win. Often the seller can be educated to the advantages of a nothing-down deal. Nothing-down technique number two, using talents, not money. A buyer, that's you, can often have professional expertise that can be traded in lieu of down payment funds. Contractors, painters, landscapers, healthcare professionals, lawyers, realtors, insurance agents, car dealers, merchants, all of these can provide valuable services or discounts that could be used in place of down payments. Sometimes a supply of plain elbow grease can help swing a deal in the absence of funds. Realtor as partner. Nothing down technique number three. Raise the commission, reduce the cash. Let's assume the same facts as in the previous example, except this time the property has already been listed with a realtor. After closing costs and a $6,000 real estate commission, the seller effectively has zero equity. In reality, the realtor has the most to gain from the sale. Here is your dialogue with the realtor in this situation. Mr. Realtor, you've listed a property at $100,000, there's a $90,000 loan, and $10,000 in equity. The seller, after paying commissions, is going to walk away with little or nothing from this sale. And the longer this property remains on the market, the further the seller goes into the hole. So here's what I propose. I'll assume the first mortgage. I'll pay closing costs for a title transfer and so on, so the seller can walk away from this deal clean. As for commissions, instead of $6,000 in cash, I propose to give you a note for $8,000 bearing an interest rate of 6% secured by the property. I'll also give you a guaranteed listing when I sell the property anytime in the future. If you'll take a note for your commission instead of cash, I'm prepared to close immediately. This technique has a greater probability of success if the realtor involved is also the listing broker, so there is no need to split commissions with other agents or brokers. Creditor as partner. Nothing down technique number four, assume the seller's obligations. When negotiating, you need to ask a sensitive question. Mr. Seller, I know this is none of my business, but it might help me solve your problem if I know what you're planning on doing with the proceeds of this sale. You're hoping to hear that the seller is planning to pay off some debts with the money he gets from the sale. If you can arrange to assume these debts and then pay for them over time, you can avoid having to come up with the down payment all at once. In our example, suppose the seller has $10,000 of medical bills. He's selling his home because he wants to get out of debt. You could approach the hospital and arrange to take over the seller's obligation by agreeing to a monthly payment plan. In essence, you take the seller's debt and put it on your shoulders. The seller is relieved of the debt, you get the house for nothing down, and the hospital gets a steady stream of cash. Everyone wins. And it's nothing down. Renter as partner. Nothing down technique number five, using the rents and deposits. Deposits. Usually, a landlord requires a tenant to pay first and last month's rent as a security deposit. If a property is sold, these deposits are passed along to the new buyer, that's you. Unless local laws prohibit, the buyer can use the deposit funds given to him at closing as an offset to the cash down payment obligation. Other types of security deposits can be used toward a down payment. In one instance, an investor in Tampa, Florida, needed an additional $7,000 for a down payment on a small commercial property. He discovered the previous owner had been required to deposit a $7,000 security deposit to ensure the payment of the utility bill. The new buyer convinced the utility company to replace the cash deposit with a surety bond, an insurance policy that pays the utility bill in the event the bill goes unpaid. This bond cost less than $500, and the $7,000 was released and used as part of the down payment at closing. Rents. Since rents are paid in advance, a buyer who closes on the first of the month, when rents are due, stands to receive the gross rental income for that month. But the first mortgage payment is generally not due until 30 days after closing, so the buyer has a 30-day breather. His cash down payment obligation has therefore been offset by an amount equal to the rents. When you combine these advance rents and security deposits, there can be thousands of dollars the new buyer can use toward the down payment. I once bought a large apartment building where these rents and deposits amounted to $16,000, exactly the amount I needed for the down payment. In essence, the renters bought the property for me. Nothing down technique number 6, the lease option. When you read the classified ads in your local newspaper, be sure to check the homes for lease section and look for ads that indicate that the seller might be willing to lease the home with an option to buy. These are excellent sources for nothing down deals. Why? When you find an owner who is willing to rent the home and or lease it with an option to buy, it indicates that the seller may not need a large cash down payment. In many instances, the seller is just trying to find a tenant to help pay the monthly payment. Often, the seller will consider a purchase with little or no money down instead of a lease. Sometimes you should lease a home with an option to buy instead of buying. Suppose you locate this lease option situation. An owner is willing to rent his vacant $150,000 home for $1,200 a month with an option to buy it in 3 years for $160,000. It might be cheaper to lease it than to buy it. You get the upside potential without the ownership responsibility. And if the property appreciates to $200,000 in 3 years, then you exercise your option, buy the property, and make the profit. And if not, you move out and find another lease option scenario. Hard money lenders as partners. Nothing down technique number 7, at all costs. Hard money refers to funds borrowed from banks and lending institutions under strict conditions of qualifying and repayment, generally at market interest rates. Soft money from sources like sellers comes more cheaply with terms that are generally much more flexible. For that reason, creative buyers tend to exhaust soft money sources before turning to the banking industry. Nevertheless, hard money lenders are an important source of down payment capital to which buyers sooner or later must turn. Credit cards. It may cost 20% interest, but if the deal is good enough, it could warrant pulling part of the down payment in cash advances from one or several credit cards. Or you can use your credit card to buy the seller what he needs, such as an airline ticket, for part of the down payment. Home equity loans. Even in tight money times, there are mortgage and finance companies willing to make second mortgage loans secured by the equity in a buyer's home. Often the beginning investor will get his or her start this way. One Arizona couple used a $20,000 home equity loan to acquire two single-family rental homes and to get their investment ball rolling. They even came out with a modest positive cash flow after paying all their loans. Refinance your boat, car, stereo, or other personal property. Hard money lenders are often willing to loan money secured against valuable personal property. One buyer needed an extra $2,000 to buy an excellent condo. He had no family, no partners to turn to, and no more money in savings. But he did own a new pickup truck free and clear. He borrowed the money using his truck for collateral. The hardest of hard money. In your newspaper classifieds, there is most likely a section entitled Money to Lend. These ads are placed by private individuals or small lending institutions that specialize in lending money at high rates of interest. They usually don't care about the borrower's credit, only the collateral for the loan. Suppose you locate a bargain home valued at $100,000 that you can buy for $67,500 in cash. You call the hard money lenders and find out that they're willing to lend up to 75% of the value of the property. But the money is expensive, 14% plus 10 points. Now, a point is 1% of the amount of the loan. In this case, they'll lend you $75,000, but they'll deduct 10 points, or $7,500, from the amount that they give you. You'll have to pay back $75,000 at 14%, but you'll only receive $67,500. I told you it was expensive, but wait, let's look at the bright side. you are able to buy a $100,000 property with OPM, and you only have a $75,000 loan to pay back. You could put the property on the market and sell it for $90,000 and pocket a short-term profit of $15,000. You don't care how much it costs you to borrow the money, as long as you can flip the property for a quick sale. The only way this technique will work is if you negotiate a super deal. But it's nice to know that if you do find a super deal, there are ways to raise the cash to fund it, no matter how good or bad your credit might be. The mortgage holder as partner. Nothing down technique number 8. Discount yourself rich. In researching a property, there are two vital questions. How much are the loans against the property, and who holds them? Most mortgage holders are banks or lending institutions that are rarely flexible or creative. But from time to time, the mortgage holder is a private individual, and then the green lights start to flash. Private mortgage holders are generally sellers who accepted a note for part of their equity when they sold the property. Now they're receiving payments over time, sometimes at below market interest rates. Some are willing to sell their notes at a discount for cash. Better to get a chunk of cash now than a trickle over many years. The strategy is to convince a private mortgage holder to discount his mortgage for cash and then arrange for a new loan against the property that pays off the discounted mortgage. For instance, a $100,000 home has a first mortgage of $20,000 and a second mortgage of $60,000. The seller wants his equity of $20,000 paid in cash. You contact the second mortgage holder and agree to pay him $40,000 cash for his $60,000 note. He agrees in writing. Then you refinance the property with a new $80,000 first mortgage. The old loan of $20,000 is paid off. The second mortgage of $60,000 is paid off with $40,000 in cash, and the remaining $20,000 is paid to the seller. You end up with a home worth $100,000 and a new mortgage of $80,000. Everyone wins, and you make $20,000 equity in the process. A variation on this technique is to find a property with a lot of equity, create a note against it, and then sell the new note at a discount to a private investor. Suppose you find a $100,000 house with a $40,000 first mortgage against it. The seller indicates that she would be willing to sell for $80,000 for an immediate sale. This means you need to come up with a $40,000 cash down payment. You create a new $60,000 second mortgage against the property, bearing an interest rate of 10%, and sell this new note at a discount to a private investor. The note has a face value of $60,000 with yearly interest payments of $6,000, but it only costs the investor $40,000. Therefore, the yield on his investment is 15%, not counting the extra $20,000 built into the note. The seller gets $40,000 cash, the investor gets a note bearing 15% interest plus, and you buy a property with no money down. Win, win, win.
This book is continued on Disc 5.